I'm thrilled to be here today. I do have Kleenex, I will tell you. Does anyone else have allergies right now? Like, I've got a right nostril and a left eye. I don't get it. It's not even the same side, but just in case, we are prepared. This morning, I think the Lord is so sweet. So when I get up in the morning, before I put my feet down, I ask the Lord, I say, make this your day, not my day. Because about 5 years ago, I was having a really hard time surrendering my day to Him. I would come to work and just feel like I had to be in control. And so I do that, and then I get in the shower. And have you all ever heard of Alpha State? This is not a part of my lesson. Alpha state, have you ever heard of alpha state? Alpha state happens, you can do it intentionally, but you can typically do it best when you're in the shower. Don't you have the best ideas when you're in the shower? That's called alpha state. And, Benjamin, what was his name? Thomas Edison. I've only had one cup of coffee. He would put himself in the alpha state. But when I'm in the shower, I just said, Lord, just for today, I just pray for these women. So you're prayed over in the shower, and I did shower for you so you could come to the front for a few rows, and I put on deodorant for you. And I just want you to get one takeaway, just one takeaway. Something's going to pierce your heart, something that you're going to hear, something that you may see. And because we are in the Old Testament, and they have the craziest names of cities and people, and if I botch them, just go ahead and talk with Karen or Taylor and say, what's the real name? But we are talking about the hidden figures and holy purpose, and I was able to listen to Sheila last week, and it's so interesting when we start diving into the Old Testament, because who really wants to be in the Old Testament? Said nobody, but we're there. So there's one piece. We're going to talk about three unnamed ladies today, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to send out my script if you want to see it. I also, at the very end, will have my email address and my phone number. Feel free to call me, text me, email me, because that's why we're here. So let's get started. Have you ever wondered if your life really makes a difference? This is yes, this is no. Have you ever wondered? Yes. Maybe you've thought, I'm just a mom. I'm just an employee. I'm just a volunteer. I'm just fill in the blank. How many of us have thought that? I think we all go through seasons where we just don't feel like we make a difference. The enemy loves the word just. So maybe we can just take it out of our vocabulary. Yet through scripture, God almost never starts with famous people. He starts with faithful people. And I know that you all are faithful because most of you all were in church yesterday and you're back again this morning. And it's a summer morning. You could be at the pool. You could be anywhere, but you're here. So thank you because you all embody faithfulness at Crossings. Today, we're going to discuss three nameless women in the Old Testament. No titles, no crowns, no ministries, no platforms. Yet, each one changed the course of history. Their stories remind us God isn't looking for famous women. He's looking for faithful women. Have to make sure I'm doing my clicker right. According to scripture. So I was like, according to scripture, what is a faithful person? And if you want to take a screenshot of this so you know exactly what a faithful person is, we trust God even when we cannot see the outcome. We obey His word consistently. We remain loyal to God through both blessings and trials. And out of personal experience, most of us trust God more when we're going through trials because we're stripped down of our pride, we're stripped down of our ego, and all we have is Him when we're walking through a trial. We are trustworthy in both small and large responsibilities. We persevere, we use His gifts, we rely on the Holy Spirit to develop our character, and we finish the race with endurance. And this, ladies, is you. And I hope you will take that to heart. So let's dive into our first unnamed person in 2 Kings 5:1-4. So I'm going to read these to you. Now, Nahum was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given him victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only the master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would be cured of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. This text introduces Naaman with glowing credentials. Look at it. He's a captain of an army. He's a great man, highly honored, and mighty man of valor. However, it's immediately followed by, "But he was a leper." In the ancient world, this disease meant gradual physical decay and social isolation. No amount of wealth, military victory, or royal favor could cure his condition. It serves as a reminder that worldly success cannot shield anyone from human frailty. During a raid on Israel, Naaman's army had captured a young girl. They don't tell us how young this girl is, but I'm thinking 14. I think young girl 14, who knows? What were you like at 14? Think about this. You're overtaken by an army. They take you and say, "You've got to be with this person and be her servant." Gosh, at 14, I would be scared to death. But despite her circumstances, being torn from her home, enslaved by her captors, she does not harbor bitterness. Wow. Instead, she demonstrates extraordinary faith and compassion, telling her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would be cured from his leprosy." This highlights how God often uses the most marginalized and humble individuals to accomplish his purposes. This young girl had every reason to be bitter. She had been kidnapped, separated from her family, forced into slavery, living among Israel's enemies. She had no freedom, no voice, no status. Yet instead of wishing harm to Naaman, she wished healing for him. Naaman's response was surprisingly receptive. In verse 4, rather than scoffing at the slave girl's advice, he takes her words seriously and reports what she said directly to his king. This sets the stage for the rest of the chapter that I'm not going to read to you, where Naaman travels to Israel to meet the prophet. It shows that despite Naaman's pride, his desperation drives him to listen to wisdom, no matter the source. It was a young slave girl. This story extends to verse 14, ultimately demonstrating themes of humility, as the mighty general must submit to washing in the muddy Jordan River 7 times to be healed, proving that true power and restoration come from God rather than from human strength or prestige. This is one of the greatest examples of quiet influence in Scripture. Naaman was a powerful military commander. He was wealthy. He was respected. He was feared. Yet he possessed something no amount of power could fix: leprosy. Ironically, the only person with the answer was the one that everyone overlooked, a servant girl. God delights in using unlikely people. While kings panicked, generals struggled, political leaders feared, a little girl simply trusted God. 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things in the world to shame the strong, so that no one may boast before him." God intentionally works through people the world overlooks. Our usefulness is never determined by our status, ladies. God's power shines brightest through surrendered lives. How might this feel for us today? Maybe we are changing diapers, which are so fun when you're a grandparent. working behind the scenes, caring for aging parents, serving faithfully at the church, packing lunches, cleaning houses, answering phones. The world applauds celebrity, but God applauds faithfulness. Never underestimate one sentence spoken in obedience. This young girl never preached a sermon. She simply said, "If only." Two words led to an entire nation to witness God's wisdom. And she was unnamed. But she made it in the Bible. That's like us, ladies. We may not be named, but we can find ourselves there. Let's look at the wise woman of Tekoa. She's in 2 Samuel 14, 1 through 20. Now, I really struggled with this. I'm like, 20 verses I have to read. However, I'm going to read them. I'm sorry. Yesterday, I was in the sanctuary, and they did a responsive reading. Anyone in the sanctuary yesterday, they did a responsive reading of 18 verses, and I go, what the heck? We've never done that. So I feel so much better. So we're going to talk about Joab. So in 14, here we go. We got him. Okay. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 14. Joab, son of Zeruiah, knew the king's heart longed for Absalom. So Joab sent someone to Tekoa and had a wise woman brought from there. Here he said to her, "Pretend you are mourning, dress in mourning clothes, and don't use any cosmetic lotions. Act like a woman who has spent many days grieving of the dead. Then go to the king and speak these words to him." And Joab put the words in her mouth. Now I'm thinking about this. No makeup. You're in black. And it looks like they made her an actress, but they called her a wise woman. When the woman from Tekoa went to the king, she fell with her face to the ground to pay him honor. And she said, "Help me, your majesty." The king asked her, "What is troubling you?" She said, "I am a widow. My husband is dead. I, your servant, had two sons. They got into a fight with each other in the field, and no one was there to separate them. One struck the other and killed him. Now the whole clan has risen up against your servant. They said, 'Hand over the one who struck his brother down so that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed. Then we will get rid of the heir as well.' They would put out the only burning coal I have left, leaving my husband neither name nor descendant on the face of the earth." The king said to the woman, "Go home, and I will issue an order on your behalf." But the woman of Tekoa, who is very wise, said to him, "Let my lord the king pardon me and my family, and let the king and his throne be without guilt." The king replied, "If anyone says anything to you, bring them to me, and they will not bother you again." She said, "Then let the king invoke the Lord his God to prevent the avenger of blood from adding to the destruction, so that my son will not be destroyed." "As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "not one hair from your son's head will fall to the ground." Then the woman said, "Let your servant speak a word to my lord the king." "Speak," he replied. The woman said, "Well then, have you devised a thing like this against people of God? When the king says this, does he not convict himself, for the king has not been brought back his banished son? Like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But that is not what God desires. Rather, he devises ways so that a banished person does not remain banished from him. And now I have come to say this to my lord the king, because the people have made me afraid." Your servant thought, "I will speak to the king because he will grant his servant's request. Perhaps the king will agree to deliver his servant from the hand of God, who is trying to cut off both me and my son from God's inheritance." And now your servant says, "May the word of my lord the king secure my inheritance, for my lord the king is like an angel of God in discerning good and evil. May the Lord your God be with you." Then the king said to the woman, "Don't keep me from the answer to what I am going to ask you. Let the king speak," the woman said. The king asked, isn't this the hand of Joab with you in all of this? So he figured out she was sent as an actress to be his voice. The woman answered, as surely as you live, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left from anything my lord the king says. Yes, it was your servant Joab who instructed me to do this and put all of these words in the mouth of your servant. Your servant Joab did this to change your present situation. My lord has wisdom like that of an angel of God. He knows everything that happens to the land. Joab knew that King David's heart would be receptive to words of a wise woman because King David was stuck. He was stuck because one son killed the other. He loved his son Absalom, yet justice demanded different consequences. Joab enlisted a wise woman from Tekoa. Using carefully crafted story, she helped David see his own situation differently. Her wisdom opened the king's heart. Only she was able to open his heart. Notice what God used. Not force, not manipulation, but wisdom, gentleness, discernment, timing. Her influence came through thoughtful words. Ladies, I think of us. We can be gentle, we can be discerning, we can be patient, we can be kind. But this woman reminds us that wisdom often speaks louder than authority. James 1:5 says, if any of you ask wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all of us without finding fault. God freely gives wisdom to those who ask. Ladies, all we have to do is ask him. Wisdom comes by walking closely with God. Because you're here, I know you walk closely with God. Because your great mothers and aunts and sisters and grandparents and cousins and all the things, we need to walk faithfully with him and closely. And then wisdom can change hearts and futures. This changed the future of David's son because there was a wise woman in Tekoa. Don't know her name, don't know her age, but we know that she was wise. Finally, our last woman, and I will not be reading 20 verses for her, is from Abelbeth McCaw. What? Can she not just be from Oklahoma City or Enid or Tulsa? This is from 2 Samuel 20, 14 through 22. It says this, Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abelbeth Maacah and through the entire region of Bichrites. Isn't that a fun word too? Bichrites. You would think it'd be Bikrites, but that's in Oklahoma, who gathered together and followed him. All the troops of Joab came and besieged Sheba to Abelbeth Maacah. They built a siege ramp up to the city. It stood against the outer fortifications of the city while they were battering the wall to bring it down. A wise woman. Look, we have another wise woman in the Bible from the city. Listen, listen. Tell Joab to come here so we can speak to him. He went towards her and she asked, are you Joab? I am, he answered. She said, listen to what your servant has to say. I'm listening, he said. She continued, long ago they used to say, get your answer at Abel, and that settled it. We are the peaceful and faithful in Israel. You are trying to destroy a city that is the mother in Israel. Why do you want to swallow up the Lord's inheritance? Far be it from me, Joab replied, far be it from me to swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. But a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, has lifted his hand against the king, against David. Hand over this man and all withdraw from the city. The woman said to Joab, his head will be thrown to you from the wall. Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice. They cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he sounded the trumpet and his men dispersed from the city, each returning to his home. And Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. Sheba fled to Abel Beth Maacah for safety because of the city's reputation and peace. An entire city was about to be destroyed. Death was imminent. Yet one wise woman stepped forward. Ladies, have we ever been asked to step forward in a situation that might not have felt comfortable? If we are walking closely with God, that Holy Spirit will tug and say, walk, speak, execute, do. And when she stepped forward, she asked questions. She didn't demand anything. She didn't declare anything. She asked a question. She was able to negotiate peace with Joab. She spoke wisdom, and she saved countless lives. She refused to allow her silence. She refused to allow fear to silence her. She spoke up when others stayed quiet. Because of one courageous woman, a city survived, innocent lives were saved, and peace prevailed. Courage to speak can protect others. In today's world, we desperately need women who speak wisdom instead of outrage. Women who calm rather than inflame. I think if we open up social media today, we see all types of things where we think, why are we going online and having these conversations? Let's speak the truth. Let's speak God. If the Holy Spirit is telling us to post something of Him, let's do that. Women who unite instead of divide. Women whose words heal instead of wound. Every conversation is an opportunity to either spread conflict or cultivate peace. Three lessons that we learned today is position doesn't determine our influence. Women from God can change hearts and futures. And courage to speak can protect others. In the New Testament, Jesus himself modeled this principle in Matthew 8, 3 through 4. He says, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom in heaven. Greatness in God's kingdom isn't measured by followers. It's measured by faithfulness. Remember, God begins with obedience. May our kitchen become our sanctuary. May our workplace become our mission field. May our neighborhood become our ministry. And may our family become our first congregation. I wish I would have heard that last one about 32 years ago. Oh, make your family your first congregation. Say yes, yes. None of these women had impressive resumes, yet heaven knew their names, even if history didn't preserve them. Never underestimate what God can do through one obedient woman. Because of God's kingdom, faithfulness always outweighs fame. You don't need to be an influencer on Instagram. You just need to tell people about Jesus. Our faithfulness does make a difference. And ladies, you all make a difference. What a gift from God you are. Let us pray. Lord, we may not have a platform, but you have given all of us a unique place in your kingdom. Help us to be faithful where you have planted us. May our feet take root in our city, in our neighborhood, in our kitchen, in our church. Give us the compassion of the servant girl, the wisdom of the woman of Tekoa, and the courage of the woman of Abel Beth Maacah. Use our ordinary obedience to accomplish your extraordinary purposes. In Jesus' name, and all you all said, amen. You will notice at the back of the sheet, there are some questions. If you all want to gather up, you all can stay here. You have 30 minutes if you all want to gather and have a little conversation. And then I'll make sure that Tanner boots everyone out by 11 o'clock because funeral flowers will be coming in. But you can have a conversation about that. You could take that back this week, meditate over it, And no, oh, I forgot to give you that one. And here is my information if you want to call me, text me, yell at me. I'll be here for a little bit. But please feel free. Yes, ma'am. Put it on the women's. Am I in the Facebook group? I don't know. I can't. I will have Dana do that. Dana knows how to do those kinds of things. She can put my contact information there. Because I will take phone calls. Oh, my slides. Okay, I can do that. Thank you. Anything else? All right, enjoy it. Thank you all, ladies. Appreciate you.